as the speakers today are well enough known on their own right to this audience to not require that. I want to begin with the first speaker, Professor Antonino Saggio, who is at La Sapienza in Rome, doing very good cool things from what we've been finding with very interesting research. And also, he's a kind of specialist in the theorization of IT, of computation and digital technologies and architecture, and has been what I think is very interesting with some projects that have to do with the way that the teaching world connects with the digital world through interfaces of the web and things like the podcast. And to me, that's a really fascinating thing to be questioning the issue of format through those technologies. He is also very, very well known for the really important and very successful and now very lengthy, elaborate series on the IT revolution and architecture that was originally published by Berghauser. And I think that collection of those very important books is probably the way that it's most well known, and I think it's a very significant and timely contribution to the digital. So, thank you
very much, Alan. Is, do I need a microphone actually, or will it be fine like that? It is fine, probably. So thank you very much for organizing the conference and for inviting me, Yasha and Eran. It's really a pleasure. And tentatively, as you know, I put the conference in the website already. In real time, so whoever wants to see it can just go in my website, just go in Google, and then there is the hidden link. I will tell you where it is. It is okay here. Okay, it's the comma between the okay. So if you want, you can follow it later and see the images and the links. Well, I decided to title this talk "Clouds and Typology," and if I will be successful, which is very difficult and very improbable, I would say, tell you, this idea will come stronger and stronger. Why do we use this strange analogy between clouds and typology? Well, first of all, as a student of 70s in Italy, we were really obsessed by this keyword of typology. Basically, our typology was the butter that every possible bread of architecture should be put in. So we basically grew up with that idea that typology was the word, and in one way or the other, we have to really tackle with that. Then we start growing up and understanding better all our crises during those times. We understood a dramatic thing, that really this word typology means so many different things for so many different individuals. Is like really the cloud of Don Quixote that everybody can interpret as you want. Can be, you know, one object versus another. In a way, this is an interesting thing from a methodological point of view. Why is that? And why we as architects use these cloud words with uncertain, ill definition, will be just completely ridiculous, this debate on typology, looking from another, let's say, more solid science. If you talk with an engineer, with a magician, or with other person, they really know what they are talking about. Instead, when the clear definition, the whole subject, it is built on clear definition. You must really know and agree on what you're talking about. While with typology, it's really symbolic of this kind of very cloud definition, not clear definition of what different people intend to. Probably this is needed within the architecture. Because architecture itself is a discipline that needs certain level of vague territory in order to explore, cannot be really sure of things, because it is a discipline that has to merge so many aspects, from the rational ones to the aesthetic ones, to the processual ones, to the pragmatic ones, that probably some type of that ill definition is needed. So we, as students of 70s, very slowly kind of understood that the idea that this typology was a container word of many different things probably had some energy into it, looking from the inside of our profession. Again, looking from the outside is absolutely scared. I mean, this kind of congresses and all debates about typology, generally speaking, looking from another discipline, could be just completely scaring, you know? The level of confusion that we can handle as architects is really incredible. So that in order to clean up things just a little bit, and being myself an Italian, c'è un libro lì, me lo passi, per favore. Non c'è? Yes. Should be somewhere a book. Well, anyway, otherwise it's okay, thank you so much, sorry. Okay, I decided to make just a little bit of history of what's going on. So this typology cloud that is like that, then kind of becomes something a little more ordered in a way. So please try to follow up some pieces of information. We as Italian are supposed to know a little bit about this matter, being devoted with certain intensity to the topic. So I will mention first Giulio Carlo Argan, that is a very important historian that made around 60 or 70 years of career in the history of art, has been many, many things, and is a crucial person. In some way educated as half as a Marxist thinker and the other half as a kind of Gestaltian. Well, he wrote a key index voice in a dictionary about exactly the word typology. And what he says, basically, is that the typology is la forma di base, the basic form that pre-exists a specific architecture that in some way recaps a series of common characteristics. This kind of definition has a story, and the story is basically, making the thing very, very simple, is at the end of the 17th century, beginning of the 19th century, when within the Illuministic thinking, it was created a very important basic difference between model and type. And Catherine de Quincy is the basic person that developed that difference. Please try to keep your attention on this point. The difference between model and type defined in that moment, at the beginning of the 19th century. Model was something basically intended with a negative connotation, because the model was something that you can only copy. So it was the perfection. While type was something that has some type of rational evolution within it, more dynamic, was more potentially open tool for the new type of architecture that was starting slowly to grow in the 19th century. So this idea of typology as the classification of forms that in some way pre-exist to architecture, on this way, we can say that the Bramante as a typology that is a centralized kind of organization that is very similar to the dome that of the Indians guys that you have here in Haifa. Basically, in that way, it's the same typology, it's the same form principle. This is the idea of Antar. Well, once you discover that, then you immediately jump in a completely different use of the word typology, that again is done in Italy by a very interesting person, that was Saverio Muratori. Saverio Muratori has a quite important different approach, because in some way eradicated the idea of typology in the anthropological, constructive evolution of certain forms. He was very much keen to the study of the evolution of types on the pressure of this different change in history. The typical studies that Muratori and his school was making is the transformation from the Roman domus to the row house of the medieval times, and from the row house as a series of other transformations that brings to different urban fabrics. Within that idea of typology is really, and the typological school of Saverio Muratori, is really very much into the process and what that very strong idea of the anthropology that is related to that. So it's not an action of a designer, but it's a series of forces of time and society that modify a type. This particular aspect of looking at the idea has had major impact in Italy, because particularly in the 80s has been developed many projects in the historical downtowns. Bologna is the most important one, in which all that approach to understand those processes of transformation from a typological point of view really brought to actual guidelines and ideas how to make actually intervention. And here are all manuals that are based on that idea. Naturally, we were not fans of these people in the 70s. We were all Russian. Rossi was our hero, either because we really liked that or because our teacher liked them, but anyway, every person that has some type of sense of interest in architecture in Italy in the 70s was more or less related to that school that was the avant-garde at that moment. And Rossi, of course, used typology again, but used the word in a third meaning. For Rossi, the key idea was that a typology was certain thing that certain basic forms that have an aesthetical built-in value, in some way have some kind of magic related to it. The court with crosses. There is a repertoire of pure forms that in some way created that idea, that approach, that typological approach. And the other key aspect of Rossi was that he related always that idea of architecture and that idea of typology with an idea of the city. The one was was not thought without the other. There was not the idea of those pure forms without the idea of that type of city that he had in mind. So the formula, the slogan, was typology and urban morphology as a binary action. And we, as poor students, trying to understand what was going on within that binary reactions between typology and urban morphology. But, you know, after years, it becomes pretty evident. So, these three different approach of typology coexist with others. And just to make an example that I even didn't mention, but of course, what Pevsner, that made his book, I remember when I bought it, so I bought it in 1980, so probably was around that moment, a few years before. The idea of Pevsner which in some way is being reused by Wiedler, has absolutely nothing to share with this. Because the idea of Pestner, as Wiedler remarked, has to see with the building program, which is a completely different thing. The building program is that he used the word typology, but he used the word typology in a completely different context than the context that we just saw. The building program is another story. Rossi can talk of typology as pure form with complete independence with the program. Actually, a cemetery and a school and a residential complex has the same typology, the same form in principle. While it is clear that from this other definition, the definition that in some way is built around the program, and Wiedler said more than once, is a completely different one. Then there are other. Do you think that this is enough? No, it's not enough. There are other ways that you use the word typology. In some cases, the word typology is used in relationship with distribution system. So something that is a walk-up deck system can be called a typology, a walk-up deck. Or row house that is a distribution system is a typology. So it's really a crowd here. I think keeping all these things apart is a kind of framework to put you in some kind of ground, if it's not solid, something that we start to understand what's going on. Let's talk of real architecture. And let's see in which moment that kind of reasoning of the form-making principle very strongly geometrically and historically put it together, that we can think the word typology as a power, has a real profound impact. And Lucan is the person that we have always to refer to understand that. Because Lucan is the person that basically demolished many principles of modern architecture in order to think again at the construction as a unity, a very strong unity of geometry, of construction, of space, of light, and the typology, that idea of the unifying principle was the key for him. Now, let's jump. We have to do two jumps. First of all, is that all new generation of architecture, in one way or in the other, is profoundly anti-Kanyan. What does it mean? Means I love Kant as I love Gropius, as I love Michelangelo, doesn't mean anything that it was anti, you know, just in order to understand. While the whole idea of Kant was towards that idea of unifying forces that keep all the aspects of the construction together, the new generation of research in architecture, starting in the 70s, Gary Eisman, and then the younger Adib and all the others, are in the completely the opposite direction. It's the idea towards the liberation of different forms and the liberation of different aspects, actually, of design. Not only different forms, such as different aspects of design are optimized one if the other independently from one to the other. So at this point, that is why nobody, generally speaking, talks of typology anymore. Because the idea of typology, it is in some way related with these two major ideas built around 50s, 60s, one of Kant and one of Rossi. Kant, in terms of the integrity, of the absolute integrity of the whole aspect of architecture, guided by a very strong forming principle, And Rossi has the idea that there is a relationship between an idea of city and an idea of architecture that is related by those pure forms. So nobody really wanted to use this word. It was a word like, in a certain moment, you know, it became just the wrong word. So if you look at exactly the architecture, the deconstructive architect, more or less, we can label this in this moment, was completely the wrong word. But if you study with attention some of the work of true people, I can only show true people here, you can see some organizing principle that in some way have a very strong typological story, I would say. For example, if you look at attention how Frank Gehry organizes his building, you understand quite clearly that certain basic geometrical and distribution systems are applied. For example, this, just to make one, I mean, we can pick many. So just in this one, after all this deformation, you can basically understand that this is a corridor with centralized entrance, and then out of this system of corridors, he moves things around. If you look at this building, I didn't want you to put the picture, it's too evident. This is basically a gallery building. It's organized as a gallery building with a gallery that opens up on the green area. And even this big difference between the space that is confined on one part and is created by one part and this back is kind of one prototypical idea. If you look at this one, you will even see the difference between the service and the served space of Lucan, but just that it is inverted, the process is inverted. In some way, the strong geometry, the main space is put inside, and the whole accessory space, those that actually create the form, are put on the outside. If we look at Peter Eisenberg, the situation is even stronger. The real approach in a certain phase of his activities of form making and form deformation was really a strictly typological approach. He was starting from very simple geometrical principle that I have a direct, almost direct relationship with the ecology, and then it starts to deform that. Look at this other building here. It is really amazing. Actually, these images are coming from the digital Eisenman book in my series, and are all those things that basically he never wanted to publish in reality because are working in the studio that shows the actual process. So look at this, for example. You know, it's starting with very, very straightforward, formal, typological, how I call organization, and then deforms that. And here are others of this. And now, instead, let's try to make the game a little more difficult. We are the third level. And let's start to try to tackle the issue of digital typology. I really, if I would be asked in advance for this title, I say, no, please. Instead, now that I am in a way challenged by you, I'm very glad, because I am forced to think in these terms. I hoped that my nightmare with typology was over at that time. I actually did a dissertation on these topics too. So I hoped that the whole package and the whole box was put under the bed. And you open it up again, and now I'm playing the game. So let's try to tackle these issues of the digital typology. Let's try. And then we have to play with the cloud again, in a different way though. before we use the metaphor of the cloud to say that there is a kind of fuzzy definition, and we as architects, in a way, we need those fuzzy definitions because we are, you know, strange discipline that is half and half. So here instead I'm using the idea of the cloud in two different, using two different metaphors. And another person must arrive in the game, that is the old world model that we left at Catherine de Quincy time. Catherine de Quincy had the idea of the model with a negative connotation, because model was the perfect ideal that you can only copy, while type was positive. Instead, for us, our butter today is exactly model as the key, one of the key words. But we use model in a complete different way than Catherine de Quincy. For us, the model is something that is processual, is dynamic, is algorithmic based. Model, we use the word model in analogy with science. That is the economical model, the statistical model, the physical model. That means a series of variables that we need to interpret certain phenomena of reality. And those are intrinsically dynamic because it's algorithmically based. And we do that because we are in the information technology revolution. So model changes completely our approach. I'm finishing 5 minutes and I will be done. Okay? Now, cloud. Let's go back to the guys, Peter and Gary. The cloud for Gary, it is his dream of architecture. He makes his sketches that looks like clouds, actually. And they have that fussy image, and he looks for that. You just can visualize the sketch of Gary made like that. Then he uses incredible potentials of the information technology that, in a way, he helped substantially to develop in order to be able actually to build those clouds. And the idea of the model is really a complex engine of interrelated aspects of design, construction, morphology, information to guide production, etc. So the model is really the way that he is able to build the cloud that is already in his mind. Actually, the fact that certain of these things, they are actually looked at cloud is another aspect. There are certain important consequences of this going in the actual way that certain things are changed. Topology becomes clear, the way that these objects are always relational, one with the other is crucial, etc. But let's forget this. Let's go to the Eisman approach to cloud. It's very different. It's very different. Peter Eisman doesn't build his dream. He has not a sketch in his mind that he's going to build through the model. But basically, in essence, what he would like to do and is actually doing through the concept of diagram, through the dynamic aspect of diagram and algorithmic approach, is actually building a model that should be able to generate a cloud. So, from the idea that the model is something that for its inner forces can generate a cloud, and the idea that the model is the tool to make a cloud, is a big difference. It's a big difference. And this, in some way, opens up two different fields of application of information technology. And the whole process in some way goes with that. I wanted also to end up with a citation here. This is done in real time. What's going on here is very interesting. I saw Cass lecturing many times, and even in recent time. And then at a certain moment, I had this Durand image of the beginning of the 19th century. That was the heroic moment of type. Type was a moment of liberation of architecture. Was the starting of thinking in some kind of systematic terms. Architecture was not a model to copy, but as some inner energy of classification, of potential, and things like that. All that idea of classification, those potential, all those ideas are coming because it's the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, and positivism was the key, of course. And when I look at this, it's not the first time, but it's the first time that I'm making the association. I think that the best way to think of digital psychology here, it is something close to this. Some close to what Cass showed. It is something very processual. It is real time. There is that idea that both things share, and Cass particularly, is really this idea of the rule-based. You do architecture through an evolution of rules, that is the same conceptual approach, but although with completely different means. This is really more than 200 years afterwards, there is tool of control, a series of variables that are just incredible. We are in a wonderful world from that point of view. And there is one most important difference here, that all the idea there goes with the idea that is the architecture is an object that is completely separate from the subject. And here, not only we as single individual becomes individual person that has power, possibility, desire, etc. But slowly, and then this has been said also, is the architecture per se that in this new approach becomes a subject, almost a subject with certain level of desire and possibilities. So at the end, I think if we really need to use this word, I am within this approach, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to think about these things.